The text is the gospel reading from St. Matthew. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen.'" We are ark builders, you and I. What we're doing here is as foolish as building a big boat miles from water with no rain in sight. While the gods of this world speak of visible financial meltdowns and economic collapse, we're speaking of invisible, invincible things in here. While there is panic in time, we're speaking in here of eternity. While the kingdom of mammon wrings its hands, telling us it's going to be like hell if it collapses, we gather to hear from our Lord what the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus begins by saying the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet for a king's son. Is that what most people think the kingdom of heaven is like? Hardly. They picture a group of dour-faced men and women dressed in drab colors, having to do this and not being able to do that. They don't picture a time of joy, a time of feasting and celebrating. God's kingdom is one of laws, of have-tos and musts. God is the ultimate party pooper. Jesus is different. He's the ultimate party giver. Give is the operative word here. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet that God gives for his son. You don't go to a wedding reception to serve, do you? But to be served. You go hungry to be filled. You don't go because you're good enough, but because you're invited. Sure, you bring a gift. But what guests bring doesn't compensate for the host expense. Let's drop the figure for a moment. The father is the king. Jesus is the son. So who's the bride? This is where the parable breaks down. We're not only the guest, we're the bride, because the church is the bride of Christ. You go to a wedding celebration to celebrate the bride and the groom. You toast them, you praise them, you share their joy. At long last, two people have found each other. Of course, in the eternal reality, there's more to be celebrated than that. What kept the groom from his bride was not time or distance, but sin, death, and the devil. And using Old Testament figures, she wasn't some pristine virgin saving herself for her groom. No, she was a loose woman. The prophets say she was worse than a prostitute, because at least a prostitute gets paid for her sins, while the would-be bride of Christ got nothing. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet in one of those love stories where the groom has every reason to reject his bride, yet goes and gets her anyway. Jesus comes to where God's law had chained us to certain and deserved death, and he broke those chains by keeping all 10 of the commandments. But the devil still held us in degrading prostitution because we had racked up a whole lifetime of sins that had to be paid for. The groom paid our debt. You know your sins. You know how shameful, degrading, debased they really are. Imagine what sorrow Imagine what suffering, imagine what sighing and dying they rightly deserve. Now see the groom bringing you back as his bride, having dressed you in a pure, white, spotless gown. That's what God's kingdom is like. A wedding banquet for a king's son, where you're invited to celebrate, to feast, and enjoy forgiveness, life, and salvation. But the parable darkens. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet that is inexplicably spurned by those invited. Three groups do the spurning. And the question is, are you among them? The first that spurn the invitation are the materialists. The insert translates that they paid no attention to the invitation to God's party. No, actually, they made light of it. What good is going to church? I need physical sleep more than I need spiritual rest. I don't need my sins forgiven. I know they are. I need to have my business growing. What earthly good is a group dedicated to heavenly things when earthly things are shaking so? So off they go. The insert says one goes to his field and another goes to his business. No, that doesn't say enough. The Greek says one is engaged in having possessions and one is engaged in pursuing them. One is full of the things of this earth and one is busy trying to get full. Elsewhere, Jesus says this is how it will be when he returns. Men will be immersing themselves in the business of this world, ignoring the world without it. Materialists, they see nothing useful in going to the wedding feast of the king's son. They want to be taught how to manage their money. They want to be taught how to invest like a Christian. They want to be taught how to live well as a Christian. Now, if the church offers that sort of thing under the name of Bible class or in the name of Christian instruction, well, they're there for it. The church that does that, however, is inviting people to something other than the marriage feast of the king's son. And they are serving something other than the forgiveness, life, and salvation. They are serving the same thing the world does. The church has become the world. The ark has become part of the ocean. Now what? The parable shows us not only polite refusals of grace, but haters of grace. Not everyone who spurns the marriage feast of the king's son is nice about it. Preachers of the gospel, not preachers of health, wealth, and worldly workshops. Preachers of the gospel actually face haters of grace mad enough to seize them, insult them, or even to kill them. Does that surprise you? It shouldn't. What happened to most of the prophets and all the apostles except one? What happened to all those who went out bearing the gracious invitation to God's banquet? They died for it. Go home and read 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 4. Then think of how mad a proud child gets when you tell him he can't do something himself. Now, multiply that by an adult and by hell itself. The haters of grace say, how dare you tell me I need something more than my best efforts to go to heaven? How dare you tell me all my good works are nothing but filthy rags before God? Don't you tell me I need saving? Contrary to the Pat Green song, we are not all searching for redemption. The materialists who spurn the grace of the wedding banquet, they're easy to spot. They have 101 other things that they need to do. The haters, well, they're easy to spot because of how they treat those who invite them to the banquet. The last group, the hypocrites, they're only spotted by God. And God is giving you a chance to be spotted today. Now don't be offended. I don't know any of you are hypocrites. I can't see into your heart. I can only go by what I see. I see you're here with all the saints, not making up some lame excuses for why you can't be here. I see you gathered around the same word and sacraments. You've been baptized. Christ has been put on you. You're clothed in the same holiness of Jesus that the rest are. Hypocrites don't look any different than the guests to other guests of heaven. But they look different to the host. God easily spots people who are going through the motions. People who think they are in here because they're good enough or better than others. Some try to give the guy in the text excuses. They say, well, he didn't have money for proper clothing, or his error is trivial. Even fancy restaurants offer you a coat before they throw you out. But notice, the man doesn't give any excuses. The man was speechless. He offers no excuses as other damned people elsewhere do. The damned in other places in Scripture say things like, you ate and drank with us, Jesus. You taught in our streets, Jesus. We did ministry in your name, Jesus. The hypocrite says nothing. Because what excuse is there for pretending to be something you're not? He's invited to a wedding guest where all things are ready, all things prepared, all things done, and he pretends to receive them, to relish them, to use them. But not really. Such a one can get by you and me, but they don't get by God. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet for a king's son that is inexplicably spurned by those invited, but it still goes on. Do you get that? The rejection of the material world of our foolish little ark here, the shaking in the material world going on right outside these doors, does not stop or even slow down the feasting among God's people. Though every day this week we were told to be worried, though every day this week our leaders look haggard and careworn, Jesus tells us you can't make the friends of the bridegroom, much less the bride, fast, mourn, or despair while the bridegroom is with them. And with us he is. Within the wedding feast, we remind each other, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. We tell each other man has never lived by bread alone, much less by world financial markets, but always by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Words like, I baptize you, I forgive you, take eat, take drink. Those who disdain the wedding party don't stop it, and neither do the haters of grace. Jesus promised us that since the world hated him, it would hate us. Peter says, do not be alarmed or surprised when you suffer in this world. Because people react hatefully to the teaching that a person is saved not by being good or trying hard, but only for Jesus' sake, that doesn't mean that teaching is wrong, not to be celebrated, or worse yet, needs to be modified. Neither the disdainers, the haters, nor even the presence of hypocrites spoil Jesus' party. Just because a person can be in our wedding banquet, celebrating and feasting alongside of us, without really believing or using the forgiveness of Jesus, doesn't mean the party stops. Did you see that in the text? The king throws the hypocrite out of his party without the celebration being paused or marred. The groom kept right on dancing with his bride while the people applauded. The wedding banquet of the king's son is still going on. And the invites, they're still going out. Come unto me, all you who are laden with sins, with debt, with fear, and I will give you rest, peace, forgiveness, says Jesus. Don't be like the elder son and the prodigal son who stayed outside the party. Come on in, be the bride that Jesus has made you, and celebrate. Celebrate to the tunes of redemption, salvation, and victory in Jesus' name, because the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet. And at a wedding banquet, you celebrate. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.